Sorry. I can email you. I have Makoros, but I don't usually have an opportunity or way to print them out. Moshe Knecht was nice enough to do it once or twice, but if you want me to email you Makoros before, and I can send it to you, and you can bring it either if you print it
I
out or
can
bring it on your
print
phone or
out for
whatever.
everyone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So maybe for next week, I'll send you something, one of the sheets, either from here or from my own sheets, and we'll have something to look at again.
It's a stamp.
That'd be even better. Wonderful. Okay. As long as they agree, as long as they allow you to do that for a few copies, and be stealing their paper. Okay.
So someone wrote that up. That's somebody who passed away after being 8 years in a coma from one of the piguim.
Yeah.
So my wife quoted you. She was reading in the newspaper. So no, I'm sorry. 3 years ago in Hanoi.
Right.
A guy
Okay.
who just passed away.
Right, like last year, right.
He worked for the Mevaker Medina, and he wrote a letter, and it was signed 3 days before the pigur. I want to pay for the paper that I used in printing up stuff in the office, and the phone calls that I made. How much is it? 200 shekel, 250 shekel. Here,
Wow.
take it off my salary. He just
Wow,
thought
3 days
I'd save
before.
myself, boy.
That's crazy. Yeah,
That's a
it's
little
a
some musa for all of us.
absolutely. Yeah, it's really it is very important. So we're not choshed you or anything, but it is important to remember, to make sure to need makbid on dina momonos, also not just your day. Okay, here we go. All right, so we're in the middle of talking about things, separations between meat and dairy, and tonight's topic is talking about question of bread. Okay. Message. Keep you away from your messages like this, right? So the question is like this. Okay, before we look at the or understand the makoros, the question is, if we're talking about having separations between meat and dairy, does it make sense that Chazal or the Poskim would have said anything about bread that would make you want to separate between meat and dairy? Let me explain what I mean a little bit. Okay. Bread is something which, and you talk about, let's say, our dairy meals. We talked last week about lasagna and pineapple pizza and who knows what else. Our meat meals of steak and chicken and things like that. So those are clearly, chalavi and bisari. Bread, what kind of meal do you use bread at usually? Meat or dairy meal?
Both.
Both. Correct answer. That's, I'm sure you knew that.
Yeah.
That's the right answer. So the question is like this. Does it make sense that since bread is like a staple food, okay, today we'll have to get to this along the way tonight and other shiurim, whether bread is still considered to be a staple today, but certainly in the times of the Gemara, for sure, and probably even today, bread is considered to be like your main food of the meal, okay? So if you're going to have bread at your meat meal and at your dairy meal, does it make sense that there would be any type of safeguard or, geder or anything at all to separate between bread for meat and dairy, making sure that you wouldn't start mixing your bread together from your meat meal and your dairy meal? Does it make sense at all that Chazal or the Poskim would have said such a thing? And if so, in what form? This is just to
Of
get you to
course.
understand where this is coming from, obviously. Yeah.
Assume if someone was eating their lunch and they were taking their bread, like some people like to do,
Right.
take all the gravy and
Right.
just, it's easier to pick up the gravy.
Okay.
And if that's sitting around the table and nobody cleans up after the meal, you
Right.
just leave it on the table.
Okay.
Come the next meal, decide you want to have some good Hungarian blintzes.
Okay,
And then you
excellent.
take that piece of bread. I might have a problem.
Good. Okay, excellent. So there's two points that have to do with bread that are very important here. So you mentioned one of them. Okay, I was going to talk about the other one first, but we'll just mention yours because you mentioned it. So that's one question. Okay, let's say, well, I'll give another example. Let's say on Shabbos. Okay, let's say not now we're in early mode of the year, but during the late times of the year, there's more of a chance that you might have chalavi for Suda Shlishit. Okay, so let's say that you had challah, right? Nice, delicious challah, either made yourself or bought in the store. Maybe not quite as delicious, but whatever it is. So you had that at lunch, okay? And you had a few leftover pieces of challah from lunch. And then let's say you're having dairy for Suda Shlishit, 3 or 6 or 1, however many hours later, based on what we talked about a couple weeks ago, you want to have the rest of your challah with the meal. Are you allowed to do that? And the answer is, in most cases,
no.
Yes, it depends. Most cases, no. Okay, the rest of that we'll save for later, either tonight or next
If
week.
you want to make the, once upon a time, people didn't buy like the amount to buy. We have subsidized breads, or
Right.
even bread was probably something that you didn't throw out so quickly.
Right.
Here it became an issue by throwing out
Right.
bread. There
Right.
were tons of bread you see
Right.
throwing in the garbage.
That's true. The question is just how do you keep it? Yeah, right.
So you had to use very frugally.
Right. Question is, when does it go stale or go bad or moldy or whatever? Aside from that.
No, but I meant the thing of using that same holly.
I see.
It's still a bit of fresh from the morning, from the afternoon.
I got it. I'll choose in our house. We do have
it
quite frequently. You just get rid of it.
That's by new loaf of bread. New loaf of bread. The affluence of the society.
Baruch Hashem, for you, usually it's good for these kind of things. It's
you
lose that out. Even a freezer.
Right. Okay. That's what we do also. Yeah. Yeah. You can definitely. You can. Right. Exactly. Anyway, so Chazal basically said that on that front, there's one thing you can't do. You can't have bread that was used at one meal. Let's say for one meal is either dairy or meat. You can't use the same bread or the same challah at a later meal, which is the other side, the other type. Okay. Even if you started with meat, you can't use the challah later for a dairy meal. Okay. That's rule number one, which we'll come back to later, either tonight or next week. Okay. We're going to start with the second rule. Okay? The second rule is that there's also a different thing that doesn't have to do with what you use it for, but even when you make it, okay? When you make bread or you make challah, the halacha is you're not allowed to put in certain kinds of ingredients, and not just not kosher ingredients, okay? What are the ingredients that you can't put in? So it says here, okay, the Gemara says, let's read you one line from the Gemara here. The Gemara says, Ein lashin es ha'isa b'chalav. Okay, it's a Gemara M'sacha on Daf Lamed Vav. You're not allowed to lash, you're not allowed to knead with a K, lash in Hebrew. The isa, okay, dough, bichalav, with milk, right? You can't put milk into your bread, meaning a milk can't be one of the ingredients in your bread. Okay, vim lash, and if you did it, then you know what? Can you eat the bread with dairy? You know what the answer is? No. Not allowed to, right? It's usser. It's usser.
Oh, okay.
Im lash, kola pas asura. Okay, the bread is usser. Meaning, if you put dairy into your bread...
That's flexing the muscles.
Yeah, you're right. You got that right. Right? Chazal knew it. They were coming down strong here. Exactly. It's mutter.
No chefza.
Right. There's no basar chal. There's no chefza di yusura. At least not midoraisa. Right? But somehow, Chazal came along and said that the bread with dairy inside is usher. Okay? Why did they do that?
So what's the shot?
Right. Why would you get mixed up? So this is based on what we started with. Okay?
Use bread for one thing.
Exactly right. So bread, again, today bread is less of a staple than it used to be, but even today, I think it's still, you know, I shouldn't ask this question, but if you wanted to have like something that was really filling, okay, my kids don't do this. My kids just eat like, you know, fish sticks and pizzas and this and that, maybe pizza a little bit, but even when they're eating like a good meal, noodles, you know, but bread is like something which really fills you up, okay? It's supposed to fill you up at least. So they used to have bread as their staple before they had this and that and all the other things. So bread was eaten both for meat and for dairy. And today also, a little bit less so, but today also. So Chazal basically said you can't put dairy ingredients into your bread because later you might come to eat that bread, okay? Even if you didn't eat it, it's totally not used at all. But it could be you'll forget, and the next meal you want to have meat, you'll forget because usually the bread is parv, and you want to use the bread at both kinds of meals. You use the same bread that has dairy inside for your meat meal, right? Chazal worried about this. So therefore, Chazal said that you're not allowed to do that, okay? That's what we call dairy bread, pat chalavit, okay? That's the halacha. Okay, now does the same thing apply to putting meat ingredients into your bread?
I remember 40 years ago he was my roommate.
Really? In Wayu?
Wayu.
I don't know.
And I used to have a toaster oven more than 40 years ago. I'm married for 42 years. I used to have a toaster oven at 12 o'clock at night. I was starving. I used to put this dairy bread with raisins in the toaster oven. And everybody
was dairy, right?
With a kufke.
Yeah. It was dairy, he said.
It was dairy, right? You recall? The smell of that raisin bread.
Simeon
went up and down the hall.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
It made people go crazy.
But it didn't look like, you know, like...
Now you're getting into the head.
Reminiscing.
We get to the Ramoise.
No, we didn't get to it. There's more stuff. Yeah, more stuff.
I just had to bring up something that...
That's good. Okay, so you...
45 years ago.
I ate out of the same toaster oven at Wayu. That's
fine. You had the same one?
You also went to Wayu?
I served 2 years.
Vita. This is great. Okay. Reminiscing. Way before my time in YU. Anyway, okay. So that's the halacha. Okay, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch Pasan, straight like the Gemara. Okay, you can't have dairy bread. If you ask me though, that may be true. But then, what about you know this kind of bread and that kind of bread? There are some kinds of dairy bread, and not in Israel so much, but in Chutz La'aretz there used to be more. Now there may still be one or two. But that's a question. How do you do that? Can you, you know, other people make dairy things, okay? And by the way, if you look at the poskim, this is another point which we're not going to read inside, but basically, the poskim seem to accept that the same thing is true not just for bread, but for mizonos foods, okay?
You can't make a
even
pizza.
Even for mizonos. So according to that, pizza, even if it's mizonos, certainly if it's hamotzi, okay, what about, you know, berekas and this and that, you go cakes, everything. What's going on here? Okay, yeah. How do we do anything today? And even 100 years ago, how do we do anything with the halacha of dairy bread? Okay, it doesn't fit the reality. So the answer is, luckily enough, there are terutzim, okay? Not just terutzim, but the Gemara itself gives...
Heter.
Let's do better. But heter also doesn't sound good.
Yeah, okay.
It means that there are ways that the Gemara, the Chazal themselves, allowed it to be permissible, okay? And if you use your logic, you could figure them out by yourself, or if you remember already, you already know what it is, okay? Basically, Chazal, the Rishonim say, based on... the Shulchan Aruch says, based on some of the Rishonim, that based on the logic behind it, okay, there can be two ways... to say, at least two ways, why it would be permissible, okay? If the reason why we don't want to use dairy bread is because we're afraid you're going to come eat the bread with your meat meal, so logically, you can think of ways to make sure that the bread is, it's clear that you won't use that bread for a meat meal, okay? What ways would you do that? So can you think of one or two ways? Excellent. Okay, good. That's fine. Okay, great. So that's one idea. Okay, that's based on the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam says that the idea is basically the interpreting the Gemara like this. Okay, the Gemara says that if it's done like Ke'en Torah, not like a Torah with a hey, but Torah with an Aleph, Tav Vav Resh Aleph. Okay, what does that mean? We don't really know exactly what it means. Literally, Torah in Aramaic means short, means an ox. Okay, what in the world does that mean? It's not so clear, and we'll leave out the explanations along the way here. But basically, the Rishonim try to explain that what the Gemara is saying here is that if you make it in a special form, okay, if it looks different, so then it's mutter. And the Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is like this. This is one of the Heterim in the Shulchan Aruch based on the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara. So if you make it look not like regular bread, then it's mutter. Why? Logic makes sense, right? Because you make sure that you're not going to use it for the wrong meal if it's something which is clearly, you know, different than the rest of the bread. Okay? So based on that, which things can you now be matir? Many things, right?
I'm still wondering whether that raisin.
Okay, we didn't. Okay, good. So that may not be included. Good.
So what about the muffins?
Was it? Oh, no, the muffins. Yeah. Okay.
But the regular bread.
Some people are.
It had raisins in them also.
Yeah, but I think it said Kuf K with a D next to it.
Yeah.
I'm saying okay, but I'm saying it didn't look like a. Okay.
Hold on. No, you guys are raising a good point. The post can talk about that actually.
It didn't look like bread.
You know, Tom. You remember? Do they still? They still have them today, no? Thomas English muffins. And all the lookalike brands, all the ones there.
But nobody would ever
those
eat
were there?
Meat.
What?
The Thomas English muffins were there.
Oh, okay. What?
Sweet raisin bread would never be meat.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we'll get back to the Senate. Okay. I don't have my sheet here, unfortunately, but it's I have one of the sheets here. Okay. Hey, so that's one heter. Okay. That's one heter that they look different. Okay. It looks different, so certain kinds of things can be okay. What'd you say? Okay. Yeah. So some of the cookies and, you know, anything like that. Okay. Cheesecake. There's a lot of things that you can say. As long as they look different, might be included. Some of the poskim say also, the modern poskim talk about this too. Okay, let's say I mentioned before berekas. Okay, so then the Kaf HaChaim talks about this. We're familiar with him. So he actually talks about berekas specifically. He lived in Turkey and then in Israel. So he actually mentioned something along the lines of actual berekas. And today the poskim talk about this with modern berekas. So if you look at the berekas, most of the Mahadran berekas at least, and I think most berekas are Mahadran these days. So what shape are the berekas?
I'm not sure. Like this.
Which kind? Which flavor?
Oh, you
would
say
maybe different kind of breakfast. Different brands. Right. So the most of the cheese breakfasts that I've seen are triangle. Okay.
But like the pizza
bread. Okay, so the pizza's good. So the pizza's a different story. We'll get to that back then in a second. But the potato breakfasts are usually which shape?
Square.
They're usually square. What's pshat? They just want to be nice, they just want to make it pretty. So it seems that a lot of the hashgachas request or insist that the people, the companies that make the berekas have to use different shapes for the cheese berekas and for the potato berekas to make sure to show you that they're different. Why? Because this halacha might apply otherwise. Meaning otherwise this halacha, which is for bread, but also maybe most people say is true for mizonos, they want to make sure that it's clear that they're different. So if you have a different shape for each of them, and this is true, by the way, for a lot of the brands, not just, you know, Zolbeck and whatever, and a lot of brands, a lot of them have this, and this is the reason why. Okay, the Hashgachas want to make sure that it's clear. Now, in this book here, in the Sirim Rabbanan book, so they say here that today, you know, nowadays, this may not be as true anymore. I have no idea how to evaluate this, but they say today that with Ta'arenu, Bishalim Ha'achronot Takana Zo Eino Machzika Ma'amad Kolkach. Is that true that the today Bismana Z, you know, literally, you know,
you have to go through. You're just thinking of the ones maybe you go to.
Sorry, you're right. Restaurants and bakeries, absolutely. You're right. So in the bakeries, maybe that's what he's saying. In the bakeries, maybe not. Right, not all the bakeries.
The other way around.
Not all the bakeries do this. So that could be.
Yeah, maybe the ones in the line of production. Maybe they've got some rob there. That's Maybe the local right. local guy just
could be. Right. It could be. I don't know exactly. He said they don't like it here so much. The hetzer I think you could give is that once you're talking about berekas today, you know, berekas that everybody already assumes might not be parv. You know, berekas is not like bread anymore. I mean, it could be when they started with berekas 50 years ago, it was sort of assumed that the berekas were parv and it would be similar to bread. Okay, it could be today already because it's so common to have cheese berekas. It's not an automatic thing. You would assume that they're parav, and maybe the whole halakha doesn't apply to this kind of case today. Could be. I don't know. To think about it a little bit. But anyway, until you know recently, that was usually what they did. They made separate. They made them look a little bit different. Same thing again is true for cheesecake and other things like that. You want to make sure that that
cheesecake would have to be a different shape.
No, but anything included in this is what some of the poskim say. Also, if any cake or other kind of thing like that, which is, you know, not that the shape looks different, but that the way that it looks different. Okay, when you look at a cheesecake, you can tell that it's a cheesecake. Okay,
that's
what
I'm saying.
This would be another hetzer.
I might be jumping the gun, but don't we say that it has to be clearly marked if it is?
Okay, so so that's the question. Wait, we didn't get to that yet. We'll have that. Yeah. Right, so we'll get back to that. So that's another good point.
I think that would be
right. Okay. It has to be packaging now.
Okay.
Right.
Well, hold on.
Look very similar.
Okay, right. So we'll have to go back to that.
Someone brought out a cheesecake. Afterwards, they said, you should know that it's a part of a cheesecake.
Okay, interesting. You should have
coconut.
Wow.
Last week.
Ew.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Par is bad enough. Okay, fine. So we'll have to go back to that point. The truth is also, there's another reason the post can give, which I didn't mention before, and that is some of the Achronim say the Pischei Tshuva, and who else does he quote here? The Chachmas Adam. A few of the Achronim, they also say that if it's food that you would never eat in the middle of a meal, it's also not a problem. So this might be a better hetzer for cheesecake and for other things like that. Meaning if it's a dessert, okay? If usually it is a dessert, so dessert you don't necessarily eat together with meat or dairy.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, maybe dairy, but
food
I'm saying
you
would
need.
So therefore, there's no problem of having dairy ingredients or meat ingredients. Dairy ingredients is better, more practical for us now. There's no problem having dairy ingredients in your cake if cake is something that you usually eat only for dessert and not as part of the main part of your meal. Meaning as opposed to, let's say, pizza, which is a different story, which we'll get to in a second, that is a meal food. Okay, berekas are usually a meal food. If you're talking about cakes or cookies, you know, even the better hetzer for cheesecake and other things like that, that you don't have to worry about this halacha at all, is that you're not eating it in the middle of the meal to begin with. So if you're only eating it as dessert, there's no concern that you might come to eat it with meat or dairy at the next meal, because you don't usually eat it in the middle of the meal. You eat it after the meal. You eat it later. Okay, again, you could ask more questions on that, but that's the basic that's the basic idea. So that's even one of the better hetzerim for cheesecake and things like that. For donuts or other, he mentions a few kind of, all those kind of things, any kind of dessert foods that you don't usually eat in the middle of your meal would be included in that hetzer. So that also gets around a lot of things. Pizza is a different question, though. Okay, pizza is a meal food. So how do you get around that one? So here's another point that they talk about, and that is basically, it's pretty obvious. If you look at pizza, can you tell that it's pizza?
Wait.
Okay, sorry.
I'm thinking, just because I was recently at some weddings.
That's fine.
There are weddings where the smorgasbord is a very important part of the thing. So a smorgasbord, it's not the thing. You know, you go around to each one of those stations.
Right.
So
yeah.
Right. Filet chicks and I saw that they serve like breakfast, or roll you up some kind of thing in bread and they'll serve it. What do you call it?
Right.
With a very soft
pile.
So what's the difference if you eat it at the end of the meal? If you serve it in a smorgasbord.
Right.
And at that station is meat, and this station. So it would be a problem.
I would think that, I agree. I think a smorgasbord is different. I mean, I think that what they're saying...
The conventional thing, you're correct.
Yeah.
The entree, the meal, and the end of the meal, or the dessert.
Right.
You're right. But if you have a smorgasbord...
I thought we're saying that this is because you might come to have it later with a milchig meal.
Right.
In an instance like that, you're not serving the leftovers. There's not another meal to come.
For which kind of thing? For the
smorgasbord?
The
smorgasbord.
Right.
You're not having... You're not having dairy afterwards. Uh-huh. They're serving meat at the smorgasbord.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. So that could be, yeah.
At table A, you got this problematic, whatever you're serving me. I don't know, mezonos?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mezonos. Right. But there's no milk anywhere.
No.
You hope.
No. No, the question was, do you need a certain surah of...
But we're saying it doesn't.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It's like you're saying...
Let's get to the second answer, and then that might cover your case. That's fine. Let's get the second answer also, and that might cover your case. Okay. Meaning dessert was a separate example. That's not one of the heterim given in the Shulchan Aruch, but a lot of the poskim say it should be clear based on the reason that if it's only used for dessert, you don't have to worry about it. The second heterim that's in the Shulchan Aruch, the second of the main heterim, is that the way Rashi understands the Gemara. which is that the case of the Ke'en Tor, the Torah, which is the shore, is basically something, again, I don't understand why it's a shore. That's, you have to figure that out. But basically, that it's something which is eaten very quickly. I mean, it's a description for a small piece of bread. Meaning, if you only make it in a small amount, okay, you make a small amount of this bread with dairy ingredients inside, so then you don't have to worry about the concern of dairy bread. Why?
It's going
to
be eating it all.
Exactly. You're going to eat the whole thing right now. There's no concern. No, you're going to save it for a later meal. Okay.
I like that.
So that's Rashi. And again, the Shulchan Aruch passage is like that as well. So that might cover the case of the smorgasbord. You have to figure out exactly how it works, but it might cover that case as well. Okay, so those are our two main heterim. Okay. The two main heterim are, again, number one, the idea that if it looks different, and number two, that it's small enough quantities that you're going to eat it as, you know, part of that meal, that you're not have to wait for a later meal. So let's focus on the second heter for a minute now. Okay, what does that mean that it has to be eaten at that meal alone? Okay, let me just qualify the question a little bit. Okay, let's say that you made challah on Shabbos. Back to our challah example. Okay, or bread. Let's say bagels. Bagels is a good one. Okay, let's say you have bagels that you were making bagels at home and they're dairy. Or again, it's even some places in America, some bakeries make dairy bagels. They're not Jewish, not
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any of those cases. Okay. So again, they're already the non-Jew. Yeah, and there's a few of them. That's one, right? Now there's a lot.
Shomer Shabbos, big sign out.
There's a lot more now than there used to be.
We are Shomer Shabbos.
They're all over the place.
There's a lot more now than there used to be. So the question is, for that also, again, maybe you didn't make it in that case, but let's say you made it at home. You made it yourself. So how small enough quantity does it have to be considered a small enough quantity? Okay? Meaning how many you say, I'm going to make, you know, five bagels and I'm going to eat them over the next 3 days. That probably doesn't work. But let's say I make three bagels for me and my wife and my kids or whatever it is. Okay. They're going to be eaten sometime over the next day. Okay, from now, 9 o'clock in the morning, till tonight at 11 o'clock at night. Is that considered to be a small enough period of time? Or does it have to be like right now in this sitting in the next half an hour? Where do you draw the line?
Okay. We have to be in the sitting.
Yeah.
Because the next meal is the next meal and then we get into all these problems.
Good. Okay. So that's what you might have thought logically. The truth is that it's a machlokas. Okay, interestingly enough, it's a machlokas. Of course, sometimes. Yeah, that's fine. No, here you can hear what they have to say first, and then you can argue if you want. So one answer, what the Shulchan Aruch basically says, is what the Sfaradim hold, that basically he says, Im haya davar mu'at, a small amount, kedei la'achila bevas achas. He eat it at one sitting. Okay, bevas achas, all at once. He says, that's mutter. Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradim, the Paskin that way, basically say that it's got to be right at that meal. Okay, maybe not that second, but within the meal, you have to make enough only for that meal. Okay, if you make more than you would eat at one meal, then that's too much, and then it's a problem. Okay, even if you don't use it at them, you have to expect to make enough that you're going to expect that they're going to get finished that meal. Okay, if you make lechachila enough that you know there's going to be leftovers, it's a problem. Okay, again, if you end up leaving some, that's a question. Okay,
that's making a non-identifiable.
Yeah, it looks the same as the other kinds.
Bread,
correct.
A dairy bread.
Yeah,
dairy roll.
Yeah, let's say.
And the same thing for mezonos.
Yeah, same thing. Okay, so for the bread, and again, if you want to figure out for challah also, let's say, I don't know exactly how this would work. We'll come back to that in a minute. Anyways, that's the concept. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says that you have a little bit longer leeway of time here. He says that on Shavuos, some people used to make dairy bread or dairy challah on Shavuos. Okay, because Shavuos people have a custom of eating dairy. He says that in that context, number one, he says that they made it to look a little bit different. But he says, number two, that's also considered to be a duffer mu'at. Okay, now this is very interesting. I have to figure out how this works. It seems like the Ramah is saying at the very least that for the entire day, maybe even 2 days, but let's assume for now at least 1 day, okay, that at least for the entire day, that's considered to be a small period of time. So according to that, if you made bread that was intended to be eaten not just now, but over the next day or so, 24 hours, let's say, for three meals, so then that would be good enough, apparently, according to the Ramah, which is what the Ashkenazim follow. Okay.
Because you remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Ramah would say. Meaning, even though it's not right now.
Forget,
right. But later today, if it's now is breakfast, and then later at dinner, you're still going to remember what you made at breakfast. So if you made the bread as being dairy, let's say you're still going to remember it, then it won't be a problem. Okay. I'll give you a very, very interesting and important nafkamina to that halacha, which I saw in a number of the things here. Some of the Sfarim and some of the online pamphlets that I found here. And that is if you make challah. Okay. But let's say you make challah in your house. What kind of oven do you use to make your challah?
Parv.
Okay, so let's say you use a parv oven. You're lucky. Okay, in our house, the way we treat, we haven't talked about ovens yet at all.
And a flechik.
Ah, right. Okay, good. So you have all sorts of different things.
I can't remember which.
Right.
Flechik's on a top.
Right, but which one's it going to be? The Flacix one or the Milfix one? So anyway, so again, let's say that there's different shitas. We haven't gotten to ovens yet. We'll talk about this later. But let's just say for now that there's a good chance that, you know, for some of us, including myself, that you're using ovens that are treated usually as Bisari ovens or as Halavi ovens and not Parav ovens, either because of what it's used for or how you treat your oven. Again, we're not going to get to that now. Yeah, okay, we only have one oven, or maybe even have two, and one is Halavi, one is Bisari, neither one is Parav. So again, some posts can say you can still treat things as Parav, but let's assume for now that you're going to be Machmir and you're going to say everything is Cheskat Bisari or Cheskat Halavi. Mm-hmm. How do you make your challah? Okay, your challah for Shabbos. Okay, so here's a question. Okay, you make your challah for Shabbos in the Bisari oven, let's say, which is fine. But the question is, if you say you can't have any meat ingredients or dairy ingredients in your challah or your bread, let's say the following. Okay, so let's say the oven is not so bad. But let's say that you... Okay, so that's what I'm going to say. That's what they talk about here. Let's say that you make your challah. You're stuck for time. This happens to us every week that we try to make challah at home. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're stuck for time and you need to put your challah in the oven at the same time as your chicken. Okay? Is that allowed? So again, we didn't talk about yet about cheskat and bisari cheskat chalavi in the same time. We'll get to that later. But just in terms of this halacha of dairy bread or meat bread, this is a shaila. Can you put in your challah at the same time as your chicken with the chicken steaming everywhere in the oven? Is that a problem of the same thing? Maybe that makes the challah...
You have to finish the challah with that meal.
Some of the poskim that I saw, Rabbi Four says in the Kashrus book, and I saw one of these sheets online for the Chaf Keh, so they talk about this also. They basically say that it should be included in the same halacha of dairy bread and meat bread. What's the answer then? How can you do that? How can you make your challah at the same time as your chicken, if you do? So some say maybe it's better not to. Some say maybe it's better to cover the chicken. But let's say that's going to be complicated. So that way they say basically the other hetzer is based on the Ramah here, that if it's challahs, they're usually going to be assumed that they're only for Shabbos. So at least for Ashkenazim, Sfarim are going to have more of a problem. For Ashkenazim, if you make the challah on Friday afternoon, let's say, and then you eat the challah only on Shabbos for Friday night and Shabbos day, so then that's within roughly 24 hours or so, that would be mutter.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, but we're talking about the challah shudas.
So I'll tell you what it says here.
Yeah, okay. But that's the only time it's going to be a problem.
Oh, good. So listen to this. So
some people don't even have
dairy. It's
forbidden
this summer, and it's forbidden.
Good. So I'll tell you what it says here. Okay, how much time we have? We have about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So I'll tell you what it says here. Okay, so in the Chaf Keh, in one of the Chaf Keh pamphlets here that they put out, Rabbi, I think it's Rabbi Leibovitz is his name. So he has a lot of these little things that he puts out. They're really good. So he says here, on this question specifically, baking challah in a meat oven with uncovered chicken is permitted since it was baked for that particular Shabbos and it is considered a small amount. That's based on the Ramah that we said before. Sfarim might not be able to hold like that. For Ashkenazim would be okay. Although some say this is not permitted because one might come to eat the bread with dairy at Sudash Lishit, Shalosh Sudos, because it's still on Shabbos, but you might come to eat your bread that was cooked in the same oven as your chicken, you know, the same time as your dairy Sudash Lishit, at least in the summertime. The custom is to be lenient with this. And that's it. He doesn't have a source for the custom. He has a source for the first part of the halacha. The custom, he doesn't have a source. Then he says, nonetheless, practically speaking, since one is not used to having fleshing bread, one should not bake bread in the above manner. Meaning, even though challah for Shabbos, people are used to this, but if you're actually making bread in the oven, it's better not to do it that way, because you might not be used to eating it only with meat or not with dairy or things like that. Okay? Very, very interesting. All right, any questions before we do a couple more practical examples here?
You use meat ingredients in the bread.
Right.
Thinking like chicken fat or something like
that. Right, so that's for sure a problem. That's for sure a problem.
It would be the same problem, though, as having milk in the bread.
Correct, yeah, exactly. That's what I said before. The Aruch HaShulchan points that out. Okay, it's not on the Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's exactly the same thing, which makes sense. You know, it's logical. And again, you can do it only if you have one of these heterim. It looks different. Let's say if you talk about a meatloaf. Okay, meatloaf has bread, probably, depending on how you make it. But meatloaf might have bread. But it's mutter either because... It looks very different. Or the same thing as the pizza. Some of the posts can say that if it's on the top, you can say right on the top what it is. It's clear that there's chicken or meat on it, then it's also fine. That's why pizza's mutter. Okay, I don't know if I mentioned that before, but pizza's mutter because it says it's right on the top. You see the cheese.
Shouts out.
Yeah, it shouts right out. Okay, so that's not included in the Gzeirah Bichlal. Right, okay. But that would be also in terms of the meat thing. Okay. A few other points here that they talk about, some interesting questions that come up. Okay. All right. Here, this is one of the big ones. All right. I'll show you afterwards. This is one of the sheets on the Chaf Keh. I can send it to you also. It's really interesting. It does a nice job. Okay. So Bizman is that we have today, we have a lot of questions about packaging, which you mentioned before. Okay. So if you're talking about, let's say, bread, let's say you have bread. Okay. And they make these breads that are under Hashgacha. Some of them, again, more used to be more often than now, but now they have, you know, maybe one or two. I think in America they have this thing called Wonder Bread. It's still around. I think Wonder Bread is dairy still.
People eat that?
So It's a question. The question is, can you say that if you write on the hashkacha that it's chalavi, okay, you say it's kosher, but it's chalavi, okay, is that good enough to get you out of the problem of dairy bread? Or do you say, no, the heter that we said about looking different means it's got to look different, not just to have something on the hashkacha? Okay,
well,
that's the
I'm
question.
Going
so
by
what
the
think?
Fact that all those breads that did have the dairy
okay.
Didn't have it. They didn't particularly have a different shape.
Okay, right.
Depending which one you bought, but I'm thinking about that. The cinnamon raisin. I don't remember.
Has cinnamon and raisins.
Oh, you mean okay. You say that's dairy?
By definition, it already is different.
Just because it has the
cinnamon? Yeah. Well, you're not going to see any. You don't see parva necessarily cinnamon and raisin bread.
You have to put salami in it.
Gosh, yuck. Yeah. Interesting taste buds here we have. Pineapple pizza, that's right, yeah. Okay, anyway, so it's an interesting question. Okay, so I'll tell you, so the truth is at this point also is a bit of a machlokes, but we'll see what the consensus today is by most poskim. I'll give you the more minority opinion first. Okay, there were some poskim that said that having a hashkacha that says with the hashkacha it's chalavi for bread, he said that's good enough. Okay, who said that? So it was known...
Rabbi Bernard Levy.
Triangle K, as far as I know, they still follow this? They definitely did follow this. Triangle K, Rabbi Rauback definitely followed this. I don't know if they still follow it today. I'm not sure. They definitely followed this. But he's not the only one, to be honest. So this they mentioned here, and I remember this also from when I learned this. Rav Schechter points it out. Rav Soloveitchik apparently held this also. Okay? The Rav said, apparently based on his father, that if you have a sign on the packaging with the hashgacha that says that it's kosher, that's good enough. Kosher with dairy, that's good enough. What's the logic? The logic is it's just as good as the fact that it looks different. Okay, here it's better that it looks different because if you look at the hashgacha, so it says clearly it's chalavi, nobody's going to get confused, right? That's what the Rav said. And that's, I think, what the triangle
held also. You have to differentiate between person who's my yin.
Beautiful.
Let me look at the ingredients of this.
Good.
And the kid and your child who's 8 years old walks into the thing and grabs out for a loaf of bread.
Which donuts?
Some
of them are dairy and some of them are...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You can't tell the difference.
What can you get?
Are some of them really dairy? I think they're usually parve, no? Some of them are dairy?
I think so.
Hanukkah's coming up soon. I guess we'll have to go check, right? Well, next time you have a chance.
You say with the bread, though, it has the idea. I think you almost have to serve it with the packaging.
Right.
In other words...
Oh, okay.
That's like the halacha with the... what's that called?
Which thing?
Fish blood.
No, the scales?
Yeah.
You need to leave the almonds...
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what you meant, right? Very good. So you have to have the... If you want to show that the milk is not dairy milk, power milk, whatever, you got to put the almonds with it. In order to show that it's clear. Yeah, exactly. So they say here also that most of the kosher religions today do not follow the Rav's Heter and whoever else held by it. Number one, because the Pesachei Tshuva has a case here where he basically says that the main Heter of making it look different has to be at the time that it was baked. I mean, if you don't do it at the time it was baked, it was done later, it doesn't count. That's number one. So when you put a label on a packaging, that's not done at the time that the bread is baked. Okay, the bread is baked. It looks exactly the same as any other bread, so that would not be good enough. That's one reason. And the second reason, I don't remember if he says it or other people say this. I think this is what you said, is that basically not everybody looks at the packaging. Not everybody's going to look at the hashkacha where it says chalavi. Not everybody's like that. Some of us might do that. I try to do that, but not everybody does that. And if we're talking about halachas for everybody, then you have to make the halachas across the board. You can't risk yourself. Exactly, right. Low plug. You can't risk yourself and say, well, probably look at the packaging and da-da-da. You know, to say basically that packaging doesn't work. And that's what most of the kosher religions say today, including in America, the OU, the Chafkei, and the Star K, and here in Israel for sure. They pass on the Chumra on this point, most of the organizations. And they basically say that if it looks the same, that it doesn't count even if you write the hashkacha on there, which is why, again, you have to be careful. But you know, if you dairy bagels and dairy bread in general today, most people don't recommend unless it looks significantly different.
Cereal, Cheerios.
Okay.
I think it has a OUD on it or something.
Some of the cereals are definitely chalavi. That's a good question. I could tell you.
No.
Cheerios might
have
not.
To be choshesh to eating cereal, like. Usually,
don't
the
you
way
have
you cereal
eat cereal,
with your gravy? No, usually you have cereal, typically
right.
with milk.
Right. Right. So I think that's the part of the heter. Yeah. Anything that you don't eat with meat meals, then you probably could be making
lunch. Maybe you eat cereal, not necessarily have it for breakfast.
I hear. Okay. So I'll tell you.
Your 8-year old kid or something have a piece of bread. Sometimes all of a sudden they come home and there's the only thing laying around some cereal.
Okay.
You pop that.
So let me flesh this out. I'll flesh out this point together with the question about the English muffins I mentioned before, and this will probably be our last point. So there's a question of about English muffins. If you remember what those are, how do you explain English muffins for a European?
A special texture to it.
They're from England. But they're not called English muffins in England. What are they called in England? I don't know what they're called. There's a name for them in England.
Whole wheat.
Okay, I don't know what they're called in England. In America, we're talking about like flat, round things, which they call English muffins, but are not exactly muffins. I don't know what they are. Anyway, so there was a question about this because basically they're pretty much they're something that were generally certified as dairy, even though English muffins are generally bread, and you probably would have to make amotsi on them, probably. So. And they're not necessarily only something that would be eaten, as a dessert or anything like that. It might be eaten as part of a meal. So the question is that permissible or not? So basically, originally, English muffins, by the way, Thomas, they were always certified as dairy. The question is why. So basically, there was a machlokas among the kashrus organizations and the poskim why it might be mutter. Okay? So some say that the reason that this worked is because English muffins were a different shape. Okay? They're round and they're flat. They look different than regular bread. And the fact that when they were made, the original brand of Thomas, at least in America, was always certified as dairy. So if the original way that it was made was different, and it always was used exactly, and it was always dairy, and it was originally looked different than everything else, so then they would say that it's okay.
Say it again.
Also, could be right. So it could be the same thing, right?
That's correct. Anything from Thomas, I remember, no matter what it was dairy.
Right.
You knew that the whole line.
Right.
If it was kosher,
right.
If it had an OU, it was dairy.
Right. So that's one heter, and that's the way that the OU used to say it, okay? However, the OU changed its mind a little bit somewhere along the way. I don't know if this is Rav Schechter or Rav Belsky, the two. Belsky's not alive anymore. But I have some of these documents, and he quotes them here also. What'd you say?
Yeshiva the South.
What do you mean?
Rav Belsky is from Tennessee.
He was from Tennessee.
I don't know, he's my uncle. He's my
he was the Rosh of Torah Das and the Posek of OU. We're talking about a different Verbelsky. Anyway, so they said that maybe that's not good enough. Okay, they said that Hetzer is not good enough for the English muffins because they point out, and this was not true originally, but at some point along the way, some other companies started making English muffins that were Parv. So then already, if a lot of them are Parv, if one is dairy, they may not be good enough. But they say that it's still Mutter, and the reason why is because they put in the amount of dairy they put in is minuscule. So they hold that if it's batel b'shishim, then that's good enough to get rid of the halach of dairy bread.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Not everybody agrees with that either, but that's what they say. Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. I mean, you could be batel b'chachila. It's also a question, but it's not an isser though. It's not an isser. Even though there is a halach of, you can't be batel an isser b'chachila, there's no isser here. Okay? Because it's dairy. It's, it's dairy, which is kosher, and the bread is kosher. So as long as you put the dairy into the bread, they say that that's going to be okay. Okay, I can send this out to you. Anyway, so I think we covered most of the practical cases here. He talks about desserts and croissants here. Yeah, he has this thing about cinnamon raisin bread here. It's two lines. All they say is that it's certified kosher, even if it's dairy in many cases. That's it. No sources, no anything. That's what they talk about there. Okay, that's basically the story here. The last question, I guess we'll stop here just very, very quickly. Just we mentioned before the halacha of not having bread that you ate at one meal. You can't have bread that you ate at a dairy meal. You can't eat it on the other way around. Okay, that's the halacha. And the reason why is because we're afraid that you might have gotten pieces of the meat on the dairy, etc., etc. Rav Moshe Feinstein has one possible heter, which is an important heter. Mm-hmm. So he says that if you have a half of a loaf, okay, this heter? Right. It's not that you have a few pieces of leftover challah or bread, but you have half of a loaf of bread that's not cut up yet. So in that case, are you still worried that it's going to get moved over, that you're going to, that there might be pieces of the meat or dairy left over on the bread? He says there, people are careful not to. I mean, if you have a whole half a loaf of bread or challah.
Half or
any No, part I think loaf. Any. I think
large,
any part. A large part.
Wait, why not uncut part?
I think that's fine. Yeah, not like a slice, but like a significant
part. Well, larger. Yeah. Large is subjective.
Correct, you're right. I would say larger than a regular piece.
Is there a different? That's what I'm saying. I, as the balabai, I cut up the challah.
Right.
So sometimes I cut it up. Just,
Right.
Enough. Right.
But then I'm left with that last piece.
Right.
Now, we always make a thing in our family with it. If we, I said, if you want to use that challah, get it off the table before.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, that's good.
Reading
now
the mana rishona. Get it off the table so we don't have any problem. But is Rav Moshe saying you had that half a challah sitting at the end of the table?
No, he's saying even if it's right in the middle. The point is that it's the lashon is ramia nafshe, that you're going to be careful. You're going to make sure to check to make sure that if you touch that challah in the middle of the table, you're not going to be touching it with dirty hands, and you're not going to be getting dairy or meat ingredient products on the challah itself.
On that remainder
the whole thing.
Piece,
right,
because it's a big thing. It's something which is noticeable.
I only have a problem because sometimes I cut up like right.
Right.
I have to listen to her. I don't want to get in trouble. Right. I kept the whole holly, and it's all sitting on the table for the whole meal. And it's like 10 different pieces.
Right.
Then I don't want to throw it out.
But you can't. Then you can't use it.
So you can't use it again.
So that's the whole problem.
Right. The way you can do it is if you cover it up or put it in a bag or you put it way far away or in the kitchen, that would work.
That's the same as...
That would be okay. Yeah, that would be okay. This, of course, is very relevant for people that make French toast, which, again, I don't know what they call that in Europe. You know what French toast is? What do you call French toast?
American toast.
What do they call it? There's lechem mitugan. That's right, lechem mitugan.
And put it into...
You fry it. Yeah,
okay.
And sugar, lechem mitugan. Like
yeah.
Yeah, so that you got to be careful with if you use leftover challah, which is the best. Right.
They call it Hungarian.
You won't understand.
How would they say it anyway?
You would understand.
I know it fairly.
Lundashkin.
What?
Yeah.
I grew
up with
So that's that's one thing you have to be careful about. If you make French toast, it's challah. If you're using leftover challah, you have to be very careful to make sure to either use the big loaf of challah or that you hid your pieces and you took them off the table before your bisari. You know, main course came out or whatever. Why?
Because, you know, who knows who is touching it?
So that's why.
You have many kids around.
Nice.
You put here, you put there.
So put it this way. So
make room for a, you know, something.
So I think even Rav Moshe would say that if you have a question. I mean, Rav Moshe wasn't like his best header. He wasn't like, you know, absolutely the best thing to do. I'm saying that there's what to rely on if you do this. But if you know for sure that your people in your family,
very,
your kids
but,
might be
but,
touching things. Yeah, so if you know that they're going to be might be touching even a big piece of, you know, a big half a loaf, then probably you shouldn't rely on that. It only makes sense to rely on it if you're pretty sure that it wasn't touched. Okay? The best thing to do in that case, if you're worried about the problem, is just put the challah away somewhere else or cover it up and put it in a bag or something that you can tell whatever it's going to be used.
If you come up with a new apps...
Okay.